Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. As usual, Jim, we start with the good, and it's been about a week now that Hillary Clinton has been on the defensive regarding the revelation from the New York Times that she used exclusively a private email account her entire time as Secretary of State, and it turned out a day or two later that she had her own personal server at her home. Trey Gowdy has said, he's the head of the Benghazi Select Committee, that there's months of gaps in her emails as they're trying to figure out exactly what happened. She's turned over about 55,000 documents to the State Department to be allowed to be turned over to the committee and so forth. So it looks like today she's finally going to take some questions from the press on this. Good, I guess, that it's a big enough story that she finally realizes she has to do this. And knowing her ability to fend off tough questions, this story might not be going anywhere for a while.
I think what makes this a good martini, one, is that we knew at some point she was going to have to answer questions about it. The fact that it's been about 8 or 9 days since the revelation of the private email servers came out, she has basically let herself twist in the wind for 8 or 9 days, ensuring that this has been the biggest story in the political realm for the past week. Also, when you throw on top the foreign donations to the Clinton Foundation, and I think a lot of people feel that these two things are connected, that there's probably something, there's got to be something about the Clinton Foundation in those emails. If you want to donate money to help patients, there are a lot of charities out there. These foreign governments like Algeria just happened to give a giant amount to the Clinton Foundation in order to help Haiti. And so the question is, okay, were they expecting a quid pro quo in response for the generosity? She should get questions like that today. It's very hard to believe that she's going to answer all the questions sufficiently and fully and accurately today. She's probably going to take one or two questions and then stride off the stage to cries of what else are you hiding? I think the other thing is that her statement today, it's almost certain she's going to claim that her email was secure. This is a blatant lie. And what I'm hoping somebody, one of those questioners is able to point out is, look, we already know that she was hacked by a Romanian hacker who went by the name Guccifer, got her emails with Sid Blumenthal, and from there he was able to get into her emails and leak some of their stuff. If this guy can get in there, it is a very safe bet that some foreign intelligence service, whose job is to get the messages and just to get sensitive intelligence of our government, was able to get into this. And as I started kind of revealing, writing in today's Joel today, this may explain why no Democrat really wants to help out Hillary on this. They realize the enormity of this problem, that effectively some foreign intelligence service has basically been able to listen into her stuff, including any messages from President Obama for the first 4 years of his presidency. And that's a intelligence failure of a massive scale. So it'll be interesting to see if the questioning goes in this way. And there's more like, Madam Secretary, do you think the Republicans are overreaching with this? But if she does, then I think people will recognize that's the media covering for her. And I think that it's very hard to see this going well for her. This is the first press conference she's done in 2 years. It's very hard to believe she's going to come out and do a fantastic job at this. She's never been that good at this. She's always seemed secretive and brittle and hostile. And, the fun question will be, at some point, does she end up with at this point, what difference does it make, style statement?
Oh, we can only hope so. Two lessons from this, obviously. If you're a high-ranking government official, use the most secure form of communication possible. Number two, under all circumstances, never email Sidney Blumenthal.
There you go. Well, yeah, that's just a lesson of life. It's not politics.
That's right. All right, on to the bad martini now. And the underlying story here is actually very good. Scott Walker, once again, making life miserable for the political types and organized labor. He signed right-to-work legislation in Wisconsin yesterday that passed overwhelmingly in the overwhelmingly Republican legislature. President Obama not very happy about it, though. He says, quote, Wisconsin is a state built by labor with a proud worker past. So even as its governor claims victory over working Americans, I'd encourage him to try and scare a victory for working Americans by taking meaningful action to raise their wages and offer them the security of paid leave. So, Jim, once again, the scourge of allowing folks to work without forcing them to pay into a union has struck again.
Yeah, this is not necessarily our most surprising bad martini of recent memory. My colleague Jay Nordlinger just kind of summarized it as all class, our president, all class. It says something that he can't describe it accurately. He can't say, no, I believe that is you should be required to join a union to work in certain jobs. I believe you should not have that choice. He can't describe it accurately. So he's got to say it as, you know, victory over working Americans. Jay compares this to, you know, the Daily Worker's socialist propaganda newspaper. And, you know, to see it coming from the president and to see just this, the shamelessness with which, the guy whose debut moment in national politics was there are no red states or blue states, only red, white, and blue states. It's kind of shameless and disappointing and more of what we can expect over the next 2 years. I just want to grab the people who are so convinced that Obama was going to be this healing presence in our politics. And you just want to shake them and say, we warned you. All right, stop seeing what you want to see and start seeing the world as it is. I guess maybe that's a good segue to our next martini.
Yeah, it certainly is. So on to the crazy martini now. And again, the premise of this is a good story. It's Arkansas freshman Senator Tom Cotton wrote a letter to the Iranian government signed by 46 other Senate Republicans, essentially saying, yeah, you might be able to negotiate a deal with John Kerry and Barack Obama, but as long as they don't submit this for ratification by the U.S. Senate, this agreement's only as good as long as Obama is in office. So bet on the fact that once there's a new president, this agreement's probably going to get scrapped. Democrats are crying foul. The Democrats in the Senate, like Harry Reid, are saying that the Senate Republicans are now finding common cause with the Ayatollahs and they're getting into bed with the Ayatollahs. Vice President Biden sent out a scathing statement saying that this will undermine the ability of future American presidents, whether Democrat or Republican, to negotiate with other countries on behalf of the United States. Here's the best part. He says, the letter sent on March 9th by 47 Republican senators to the Islamic Republic of Iran, expressly designed to undercut a sitting president in the midst of sensitive international negotiations. Yep.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm extremely skeptical of this deal with Iran. I think, Netanyahu laid out a really good case. I think that the entire history of the Iranian regime and the mullahs is one of subterfuge and dishonesty and using terror groups as proxies. Just remarkable. Like, you have to be, it strikes me as extremely naive to step into this. But just for the sake of argument, if the devil's advocate, if you think this is the best way to deter an Iranian nuclear bomb, then go out and make that. But everything that was stated in the GOP senator's letters, it was accurate, which is to say that, look, unless you're doing a treaty, the Obama administration keeps insisting, well, this is just an agreement, so we don't need to send it to the Senate for a resolution of ratification. Nonsense. Right? This is a treaty. The international agreements don't get any bigger than this. And Obama knows that he doesn't really have a broad agreement, and he doesn't have support of Congress beyond this. And it's really, the intriguing thing is that he's got, he doesn't have that much Democratic support behind him. There is considerable Democratic skepticism, including the oh-so-conveniently just indicted Senator Bob Menendez. And so, in response to this, instead of trying to win over Republicans, like from the very beginning, Obama's approach is, well, if you don't support my approach, you want war with Iran, which is this, straw man. It's this, attacking those who disagree. It would be really nice if they could say, no, here's why we think this deal is going to work. Here's why we have reason to think the Iranians are going to keep, and they can't. There's no good evidence there. There is no good argument of, no, here's why the Iranians are much nicer guys than we think they are. And as a result of that, the only card they have left to play is to call Republicans traitors and that this is betrayal and that this is, literally criminalized dissent. Do you remember when dissent was patriotic, Greg?
Yeah, during the Iraq War.
I was going to say, it was okay then. It's okay for Pelosi to go meet with Bashar Assad in Damascus. It's okay for John Kerry to go meet with Bashar Assad in Damascus. That's perfectly fine. However, to go out and write an open letter, right? This isn't a secret communique to Tehran. This is openly saying, look, we don't trust you. And your deal is with Obama. It is not with the American government. Because to get a deal with the American government, you need to get the Senate to ratify this treaty. They're just coming out and saying, hey, this is the truth, pal. Now, is it going to complicate negotiations? Probably. But I don't think really that letter told the Iranians anything they didn't already know.
No, exactly. So, I think they're smart enough to know how the system is supposed to work. And if you make the allegation that they're trying to stop a really bad deal for the United States from happening, yeah, they are.
Yeah, all of the accusations of how terrible this is begins with the assumption this is a good deal. If it's a bad deal, like what is the obligation of a lawmaker if they think the president is making a terrible deal? Just close your mouths and nod and assent and go along? That's not what the American system of government is about. But it is basically how progressives see the government. That basically they define treason as disagreeing with the president.
Oh, it's another crazy day, but we're used to them now. Jim?
Yes, we are.
Have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.